is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Monday. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you so much to former NBA player Carlos Boozer coming by to have a chat with us about the NBA playoffs, the NBA play-in, Cooper Flagg, Duke, his twin sons who are just on their way to Duke. Thank you, Carlos Boozer. We had a great chat as well. Thank you so much for coming by. Wes Reynolds, who hosts the Long Shots podcast on VSiN. He came through to talk with us about Rory McIlroy. So if you missed that conversation with Carlos, you missed that conversation with Wes, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Audacy app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can come on through and you can start the show from the beginning. You can hit pause. You can do whatever. Thank you to everybody listening on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, you can tune in on channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm being joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He is in New York City. And we talked about Nico Iamaliava. Tennessee said, oh, no, we're not paying you. Go find somewhere else to play college ball. Hey, we talked about the WNBA draft. Paige Becker selected number one overall by the Dallas Wings. And we got so much more to get into. We talked about the crappy playing games that the NBA are going to serve up. And then we also talked about this at the beginning of the show. We had another coach fire today in Mike Budenholzer. Yeah, the same Mike Budenholzer who led the Milwaukee Bucks to a championship in 2021. And he was ultimately fired from that squad. And now the same Budenholzer who coached the Phoenix Suns this year, even though he coached a team with absolutely no depth. And then he got fired. And this is just a completely different world when it comes to coaching in the NBA. The Phoenix Suns have gone through three coaches in three seasons. Monty Williams, a former coach of the year. Frank Vogel, an NBA championship coach. He had the Lakers with the best defense when they won in the bubble, okay? I know some people don't want to count that, but just let's relax just a little bit. And now you're getting rid of Coach Budenholzer, who I just told you his accolades. He's a former coach of the year himself. Two-time coach of the year. NBA champ with the Bucks. Now, he doesn't have a job. It used to be in the NBA. You got fired if you sucked. You got fired if the star player didn't want you. But it was very rare that all of this would take place in a year. Are you kidding me? The Phoenix Suns, they were 10-18 since the All-Star break. When Kevin Durant didn't play, they were 3-17. They wanted to trade Bradley Beal, but Bradley Beal did not go anywhere. He didn't want to waive his no-trade clause. They wanted to trade Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant also didn't want to go anywhere. And so they kept him. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, but why are you going to trade Kevin Durant to a team? Why would a team bring on a guy who didn't want to be there? So ultimately, somebody has to take the fall. And that's Coach Budenholzer. And in hilarious fashion, maybe not hilarious, maybe the writing was already on the wall. Budenholzer spoke yesterday at the conclusion of their season, just hours before he was about to get the boot, hours before he was going to be fired. And he basically said, yeah, this season sucked.
You know, a season like this is not easy for anybody. I'm human. You know, I think had high expectations and, you know, there's a level of frustration, but I'm just like everybody else. You know, we want to be better. We need to be better. So, regardless of, you know, anybody's circumstances or where they come from or what they're coming back to, we got to be better.
They fired him. There's no we better. They fired him, and good for him. He has 4 years and $40 million left on his contract. Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, this guy has so much money. He's like, yeah, I'll pay Monty Williams not to work. And by the way, Monty Williams, just keep in mind, he ended up in Detroit. He didn't even want that job. I'm going to pay Frank Vogel not to work. I'm going to pay Mike Budenholzer not to work. Matt Ishbia, he treats this NBA thing, he treats this like it's Christmas. Like this is charity. Like he's giving away money. At what point in time is he going to learn? He wanted to make a big splash. He acquired Kevin Durant. He wanted to make a bigger splash. He said, oh, let's add Bradley Beal to the team. The team sucks. They're top heavy. They got nobody at the bottom of the roster, nobody in the middle of the roster to actually help them succeed. And it's not just Coach Budenholzer. Last week, we learned that Michael Malone, he's done. We heard more from Josh Kroenke that all of a sudden, oh, well, this firing was months in the making. Michael Malone winning a championship with the Denver Nuggets. They got him the hell up on out of there. We think back earlier in the season. How about this? Mike Brown fired by the Kings. This is De'Aaron Fox was still on the team at this point. They fired him. And then he still got traded. Nick Nurse. Man, Philadelphia didn't fire him. Could you imagine? No Joel Embiid, nobody's playing for Philadelphia. They tried to lose on purpose. Nick Nurse won a championship in Toronto in 2019. They fired him. Frank Vogel, I just told you about, winning a championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. He was fired in 2022. When you have superstar players making 45 and 50 and 55 and $60 million a year, upwards of almost $70 million a year, can't fire the players. He's going to go out there and fire the coach. And it's not fair. But life isn't fair. And I guess if you're a coach and you can make $10 million a year, it's not too bad to sit on your backside because a star player didn't want to hear you. Like the NBA is going to need market correction. It is. Because there's no way that you can have this much stability and this many owners shelling out money and players dictating what they want and don't want. Nikola Jokic said last week, I didn't have any say. He said, they basically told me Michael Malone was done and that's just what it is. I don't work here. I just work here. I'm not the boss. I just work here. I asked the same question to Carlos Boozer when he joined us last hour. Just brass tacks. Are NBA coaches important at all, or are they just guys standing around waiting to be fired? This is what Carlos Boozer had to say.
Ultimately, they didn't have the year they wanted to have, so they probably wanted to move on, get a new voice in that locker room. There's going to be a lot of changes in Phoenix, so seeing where they're going in that direction and what they do with that team. But there's a couple guys that got let go. You saw what happened in Denver as well. The GM and the head coach, Malone, got let go. It's that time of the year where ownership and management are evaluating their team and seeing who they want to lead the group going in the future.
Okay. That's spoken by someone who's never coached in the league. Okay. Carlos Boozer, multiple-time All-Star, long career, got himself a gold medal, and then coaching his sons, watching his sons go out to Duke. Let's hear from Steve Kerr. Why? Because Steve Kerr, he has experience at every level of basketball. There was a point in time where Steve Kerr was running the Phoenix Suns. We know about Steve Kerr on television. We know about Steve Kerr and his multiple NBA championships. We know about Steve Kerr as a four-time champ and leading and having to coach Steph Curry and Durant. Steve Kerr has done it all. And Steve Kerr was asked about coaches being expendable and why everybody's getting fired. This is what Steve Kerr had to say.
One thing that's happened is most teams are now owned by billionaires, big corporations, and so we're all more expendable. There's so much money in the business now, and there's pluses and minuses to that. You know, we're all making bigger salaries than we were 5 years ago, but we're all much more vulnerable because I don't think a lot of the owners are that concerned with firing a guy and paying him off to go away.
Hickey, wrong business, huh? Wrong business.
Or the best one, really.
I'm saying me and you.
Oh, like what we're doing versus coaching. I agree.
Oh, my God. Did you what he just said? Yeah, being fired and paid to just go away. Make my day if I get $40 million out the door. And if you're somebody like Steve Kerr, you think he'll ever be fired or he'll just quit? He'll just quit one day, right?
Yeah, I think he would just quit. Maybe he walks off, like, you know, Steph, Draymond, Steve all kind of walk off together.
Yeah, that's that makes the most sense. Because you think about this. Is there any coach in the NBA that would not get... But Greg Popovich is his own boss. And unfortunately, this man is recovering from health issues. We don't even know if he's going to coach. I know Eric Spoelstra has a long-term deal. You think about Pat Riley being 80. I don't think Pat Riley is going to shake up the apple cart. Eric Spoelstra probably has the best job security in the entire NBA. Everybody else, I don't think there's another coach. Like Tom Thibodeau. If things don't work out for the New York Knicks this year, and there's any type of embarrassment, as closely knit as he is to Jalen Brunson and his dad Rick, like I could see Coach Thibodeau getting fired, and the New York Knicks decide to hire someone like Michael Malone. I could see that.
I hope it comes to fruition.
Oh damn! You don't like Coach Tibbs and his minutes?
I mean, it's not even that per se. I think his in-game coaching can be better, but also it's like the Knicks. There are not many moves they can make to get over the hump. So if they get bounced in the second round, which they probably will, in a non-competitive series, which it probably will be, you got to make some change. And with the draft picks that they have given away for Cat and Mikal Bridges, not many changes you can make to the roster. Got to be the coaching staff.
Has to be. Man, I'm looking at this list of coaches, Hickey. Everybody can get fired. Everybody.
Five coaches to win a title are fired. It's crazy. Yeah.
Chauncey Billups just did get a contract extension from the Portland Trailblazers. Listen to this list. And then even for the Memphis Grizzlies, they fired their head coach as well. These guys can all get Quinn Snyder of the Hawks. He can get the boot. And Joe Mazzulla at any point, and especially with new ownership, Joe Mazzulla can get fired. I don't care. Jordy Fernandez, head coach of Brooklyn, whatever. Charles Lee of the Hornets, who cares? Billy Donovan. Hickey, how the hell is he even? Do the Bulls know that they're playing? What's Jerry Rons do? Is he worried about the White Sox?
I guess maybe he is Teflon because of, yeah, just bad ownership.
Kenny Atkinson has already been fired from the Brooklyn Nets. He's coaching the Cavs. They fired him. He didn't even get a chance to coach Durant. We got Jason Kidd of the Dallas Mavericks. I think Jason Kidd will quit at some point over the next year. We have David Adelman, who's the new head coach of the Denver Nuggets now that Malone has been fired. JB Bickerstaff with the Pistons. Yeah, he can get fired. Steve Kerr, not getting fired, but one day he's just going to leave. Ime Udoka, it's early with the Rockets. He has time. But we know that he likes to, he likes things on the side. He may get fired. Maybe he learned his lesson. Rick Carlisle, Hickey, he's still coaching the Pacers. What does he do? I haven't heard from him in a while.
Hey, they made the Eastern Conference Finals last year. The back of the playoffs this year is a 5 seed. He's not done anything right now to get himself fired.
I feel like Rick Carlisle, he does a lot of complaining. I think he's about due. He's going to give us one good quote here in the postseason.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, he is one for a good complaint.
And Ty Lue isn't getting fired. Good for him. J.J. Redick is not getting fired. LeBron is not going to let it happen. Memphis Grizzlies new coach, Tomas Isalo, who knows? I don't know. Eric Spoelstra never going anywhere. Doc Rivers could get fired tomorrow by the Bucks. Minnesota Timberwolves. They still got Chris Hickey. The last time I saw Chris Finch, remember he broke his leg last year or something like that? They had him
sitting. I don't mean to laugh, but yes.
They had him sitting behind the bench. He can get fired. Willie Green is coaching the Pelicans. What a sad job that is. Likely to get fired. Tom Thibodeau can get fired. Mark Daynol of the OKC, if they don't have success this year or next, they'll fire him. Jamal Mosley, the Magic, can get fired. Nick Nurse, already been fired, probably get fired again. My God. Doug Christie, am I supposed to think he's going to coach the Kings forever? No. Toronto Raptors, who cares who their coach is? Darko Rajovic. Will Hardy is coaching the Jazz, can get fired. Brian Keefe coaching the Wizards can get fired. Hickey, everybody can get fired except for Spoelstra.
Yeah, the NBA head coach, by far the most volatile head coach position in all sports. No doubt about it.
Man. You say NBA most volatile. The NFL, can you put the NFL in there? They give you a couple of years. Like the NBA, you don't give it a year right now.
And at least the NFL, you have success, you stay. Like, it's very rare to see, like, a Jim Harbaugh situation where you win and they still
Four
let you
years.
Go.
Yeah.
You win, you're there, and they'll put up with whoever you want. NBA, you win a title. 2 years later, you can take your team to the playoffs. The Nuggets are top four seed. Doesn't matter. Hit the bricks, Michael Malone.
Yeah, we've moved on into a different era of I think this is beyond player. This is still player empowerment. And like Steve Kerr said it, everybody makes so much money. The owners, they'll eat the salary. Like Matt Ishbia came from the finance world. He's like, but what's $10 million a year? I guess from his perspective, Hickey, all in, he's like, listen, I got to pay my entire roster, I don't know, $200, $300 million. What's $10 million for a coach? I don't know. We don't have the stalwart coaches anymore. We're not going to have that guy that's sticking around because the players move. I don't know if the collective bargaining agreement will change things. I think we've already seen how player movement can be hindered. I don't know if guys are just going to ask to be traded, but it's just, you're screwed. Like when your entire tenure is connected to a player, like a Zion Williamson, like a Bradley Beal, like the owners will never fire themselves. They can't. They're going to fire David Griffin, who ran the Pelicans today. They're going to fire Mike Budenholzer, who they said he didn't connect with the guys in Phoenix. Well, they didn't play. None of these guys played. They didn't play together. And then when Kevin Durant was actually out there on the court, they had a record of 33-29. That's not all that exciting. Like, this is a lot of it. It's Ishbia's fault. You can't blame anybody else. You can't blame James Jones. He still has a job. The owners are the ones to blame. They're the ones with the money. And if they're going to pay, then so be it. Can't buy a championship. I think a lot of people are. Look, the Brooklyn, Hickey, everybody that's tried this has failed. Mikhail Prokhorov with the Brooklyn Nets tried to buy a championship from the day he showed up. At one point in time, the Brooklyn Nets had Darren Williams. They had Brook Lopez, Joe Johnson, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett. That was their team. Yeah, it sounds nice on paper. You got a couple of Hall of Famers and multiple time All-Stars. Brook Lopez is still out here playing. You would think that team would just go and light the world on fire. They were old. In the Brooklyn Nets, they mortgaged their entire future to go get that title when Mikhail Prokhorov showed up. And what happened? The Brooklyn Nets didn't win a title. All those draft picks that went to Boston turned into Tatum and Brown. It got the Boston Celtics a championship. The Phoenix Suns, Matt Ishbia buys the team, brings in Kevin Durant, brings in Bradley Beal. All those draft picks gone, out the window. And now they got to trade one or both of them just so they can try to rebuild around Devin Booker. Like sometimes, man, you got to take the slow build and the slow approach instead of just trying to bring in the hot new toy for the Christmas season. The Suns screwed themselves. It ain't because of Budenholzer. And it's not because none of these miserable ass players who are never healthy enough to go out there. Hi, Bradley Beal. It's the owner's fault. But of course, he can never take the blame. I wonder what that exit interview is going to sound like. I wonder how that goes. And how about this, Hickey? We discussed it last week. James Jones, for now, he still has a job. He didn't get fired.
Operative word. Words. For now.
For now, yeah. He's next. He will definitely be next. NBA. It pays. It pays to be fired. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're not going to talk about somebody who got fired. We're going to talk about someone who is, I don't know, I guess this is a promotion. This man is going to be known as Captain America next year. I'll explain on the other side of the break. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, NBA coaches, they may get fired all over the place. We have a couple of individuals who are being honored. We got people being named captains. We got jerseys that are about to be retired. I mean, this is, I don't want to say this is uncharted territory. You know, let's get the captain out of the way first. Aaron Judge has been named a captain, been named the captain for Team USA Baseball next year at the World Baseball Classic. Aaron Judge is having another ridiculous year. The baseball season just started. He already has more home runs than everybody at 6. Already leads Major League Baseball in RBIs with 20. It's early in the season, we know. He has a batting average of .357. Every time Aaron Judge is playing baseball, he's just like a man amongst boys. He's just brutalizing the competition. And so in 2023, Team USA lost the title game to Japan. I remember that. It's Shohei Ohtani. He struck out Freddie Freeman. Last time Team USA won this World Baseball Classic was in 2017. And the next year, the final for the World Baseball Classic is going to take place in Miami. They're going to have games in Houston, Miami, Tokyo, and then also Puerto Rico. The manager is Mark DeRosa, and the pitching coach is Andy Pettit. And now Aaron Judge, he'll be the captain. This was all announced earlier today. Aaron Judge says, of course I'm happy to be the captain. This is great stuff.
It's something special, you know, getting a chance to represent our country. You know, I kind of said earlier this morning, just thinking about all the brave men and women that have fought for this country and, you know, laid their lives down for us to get a chance to go out here, and especially me get a chance to go out here and play a game. You know, it's a pretty humbling experience. So it's just happy to represent the U.S. and, you know, happy to be your captain.
That's nice. Hickey, did he sound less than enthusiastic at the end? He's like, whatever.
Does he ever sound enthusiastic, though?
I've heard him sound happy. I mean, he's not Derek Jeter levels of, you know, miserable.
He's not that far away, though.
Well,
he's pretty close. Like, he doesn't say anything. He has no personality, which is fine. You don't have to. But he's not out there, you know, giving you funny bits and quotes and showing his personality. And
I think so. I think he has a lot of fun in the dugout. I think when he's over in right field, he does a lot of interactions. I've sat in right field and I've seen him interact. I think he is. When he talks to the media, it's just there's nothing. He doesn't give you anything. But I think he has more of a public personality than Derek Jeter did.
But at least in terms of a press conference, like what he said today, like that's who he is. It's like out of the norm, or he's less enthusiastic than he normally is. That's just to me another average ho-hum press conference by Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be your captain, I guess. Okay, yeah, thanks. Okay. Yeah, I won't think about the World Baseball Classic until it actually starts next year. How about that? Aaron Boone, he has a lot of personality when he's cursing and yelling at the umpires. Aaron Boone says Aaron Judge, he's the best option to be Team USA captain.
Look, I think it's the perfect face to be the captain of Team USA. So I know he's really excited about it, and so I think it'll be a great thing.
Hickey, maybe is everybody on the Yankees miserable? Is that what is being? I thought now that they had beards, they're supposed to be happy.
I guess that didn't help.
Oh, my God. I hope they have more enthusiasm next year. What do I know? I don't. They're going to play Japan again? Hickey, is it bad for me to say I'm picking Japan?
No.
No, okay.
If you were rooting for Japan, different story. Picking them to win? No, that's fair game.
No. I'm not doing it. I only root for the New York Jets to lose when they need to. I'm not going to root against the United States of America.
You going to root for the Hawks then this for the playing tournament or no?
No, I'm not stupid, Hickey. I'm not rooting for no.
So you're smart. Okay.
I'm not rooting for nobody that has no chance to win. Come on now.
That's fair.
I could see Hickey, Yamamoto, Sasaki. They could just throw old Dodgers team out there, Hickey. And they could just beat Team USA themselves, man. What are we doing?
I mean, as Ohtani, I'm assuming he'll pitch too, right?
Yeah, he's going to pitch and he's going to hit.
Not good.
Oh, man. Well, you got a moniker on the Cubs? Come on, man.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good.
What are we going to do? We're going to find out where Verlander's arm is at. And
oh, jeez.
Chris Sale and Scherzer. I heard Scherzer has a thumb issue. It's just
Scherzer's going to try for like the 500th time for a comeback?
I don't know, man. He got to get his thumb checked out. I'm like, it's April, bro.
His first start of the year, he got hurt. Come on.
It's like, man, is it your back? Is it your knee? Like, go home. At this point, go home. Like, what are you trying to do? You want to get to 300 wins? It's not happening. Just forget about it, man. It's crazy. You guys will be out here trying every and anything. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hank is here from Wisconsin. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Hank?
Hey, man. You were talking about buying championships in the NBA before, and I was just curious if you consider Durant. Durant going to the Golden State Warriors back, and I don't even remember what year it was. Is that like buying a championship? And also, do you consider buying a championship like what LeBron did like in Cleveland when, you know, they went out and they didn't necessarily buy Kevin Love or anything at the deadline. They did have to go and pay, you know.
No. Not at all. Listen, man, we've had super teams, if you want to call them whatever the hell you want to call them, in the NBA for a very long time. What happened with Kevin Durant was a unique circumstance where the NBA salary cap opened the hell up and the Golden State Warriors were able to afford him and he went there. And so all things considered, yeah, you could say that's buying a championship. The Warriors were able to bring in a guy who they didn't necessarily need to win another two championships. Yeah, the Warriors bought themselves a championship. But to put that in maybe in the same category of LeBron James, this man was begging and trying to get people to go to Cleveland for the longest time. So I'm not putting that in the same space. But in order to win, you, of course, you need talented players. I don't care if you're looking at the Celtics of the 80s, the Lakers of the 80s, the Chicago Bulls of the 90s. We can look at the Dallas Mavericks team that won. They didn't have a big-time stars outside of Dirk. You can look at the Detroit Pistons. They had a bunch of all-stars. Nobody was looking at these guys and going, oh, my God, Hall of Famers outside of Ben Wallace. But, yes, you need a bunch of talent to go out there and win. But what doesn't work is when you try to microwave the success. There's a big difference between the Golden State Warriors already being champs and adding Kevin Durant and having a big hotshot owner who comes in and says, I already have Devin Booker. I need Durant now because I can do it. I need Bradley Beal now. And then you don't have nobody else on the team. Like, that's what I say buying a championship doesn't work. When you try to microwave it, you're stupid. The Golden State Warriors were already a championship team before Durant got there.
Okay, I agree. I totally agree. And you can see, like, as the effects of, like, what happened with the Bucks the last couple of years. They tried to switch it up and get Dame and whatnot, and they didn't necessarily buy him either. But
yeah, there's a difference. I'm not going to call talent acquisition just buying a championship. That's not it. When I look at guys who are, and thank you so much, Hank, for calling from Wisconsin. If I'm thinking about buying titles, I'm not looking at a team that already had championship success. I'm not looking at a team that's already set and ready together. I'm not mad at any. The New York Knicks, come on, man. They don't look all that close to a championship. Just this past summer, how many guys did they bring in? They brought in Mikal Bridges. They brought in Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not going to call that the Knicks are trying to buy a championship. Every team is going to try to acquire talent, like flat period. If I bring in more talent, I have a better chance to win. I think we all know that. What I'm saying is when you have these owners who come in, like a Mikhail Prokhorov, all right, like what we've seen here with Matt Ishbia, when they show up and on day one, they just we need a star. I need another star. And they have mortgaged their futures just by trying to buy a title right out of the gate. Hey, we just talked about Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. Right across the river with the New York Mets, Steve Cohen owns the Mets. There were people beating this guy up from day one. He says, yeah, I want to try to win now. I want to win a championship in the next 5 years, and I want to still build a team to compete for the long run. People were beating him up because he brought in Verlander and Scherzer. He tried to win immediately, but then also have some legs on into the future. All this guy's done is throw money into the team, and people are still complaining. You got Soto on a squad now. You got Lindor on the team. These guys are in long-term deals. And one of the guys, Hickey, what is he making? $750?
$765.
Seven, I shorted him. $15. My God, $765. Like, you can try to throw money at a situation. The New York Mets threw money at early at a situation. It didn't work. And this guy's still spending money. Okay? Luckily, in baseball, they have a different economic system. In the NBA, you're handcuffed. You're cooked. There's a difference between paying Kevin Durant to help you win more championships versus bringing on Kevin Durant, an older Kevin Durant, and a washed-up Bradley Beal, and you have nobody else on the roster. The Golden State Warriors of 2016, this team is not. Not a whole hell of a... This team is empty. Me and Hickey could play on the back end of this bench. It's pretty bad. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Listen, people, the NFL Draft Preview is sponsored by Ego. Tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes. For any outdoor challenge, count on Ego. Tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego. Power beyond belief. Derek Carr's shoulder injury was revealed on Friday. Many teams are expecting the Saints to go out there and get a new quarterback. The latest mock draft from CBS Sports has the Saints trading up from number 9 to number 5 to get Shedeur Sanders. It appears that this latest QB injury will add a major wrinkle to what happens in the first round of the NFL draft next week. We are going to take a break. When we come back, I told you that we had some folks who were being honored. Yes, Aaron Judge will be a captain for Team USA baseball in Colorado, specifically with Shedeur and Travis Hunter. They're being honored in a different way. I'll fill you in on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
No, not until you. But that's nice. Thank you. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, before we went to break, all these guys getting fired and dumped. I want to say prematurely, but I guess maybe not. Guys like Coach Budenholzer and Michael Malone. We talked about some folks who've been honored. Aaron Judge is going to be captain for Team USA's baseball next year at the World Baseball Classic. And then about 30 minutes ago, Colorado, the Buffaloes, they shared some news where they're actually going to be honoring guys who just left the team. They're going to be drafted into the NFL next week. How about this? Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter will have their numbers retired at Colorado. Wow. Well, Colorado is not wasting anytime. There are only four other men who've had their numbers retired for Colorado. Byron White, College Football Hall of Fame. This man was also an associate justice on the Supreme Court. What a resume that is. Joe Romig, who was also a genius at Colorado. We got Bobby Anderson. And then God rest his soul, this man won a Heisman as well. Running back Rashawn Salaam. He won a Heisman for the Buffaloes as well in the 90s. And so now we have two additions, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. I'm a little bit surprised at how soon. They're going to be honored with a ceremony this Saturday during the spring game for Colorado. And I guess when the coach might as well be your dad, I guess these things can happen a little bit easier. Obviously, I'm referring to Deion Sanders. I'm just a little surprised that, hey, this didn't take place, I don't know, a year or two down the line. Now, I understand. We all know what Travis Hunter just did. Just won himself a Heisman. And we take a look at what Shedeur Sanders did. He broke plenty of records at Colorado and was also named the top quarterback of the year. If Deion wasn't there, I would be like, oh, okay, this is kind of aggressive, but Deion Sanders is there. I guess they figured to might as well get this one out the way. Hickey, having said that, A little surprising, no?
I'm shocked, honestly.
Right out of the gate?
That, and also, like, I feel like when you retire a number, like, I mean, they've only been there for 2 years. At least at least Travis Hunter won a Heisman. So that's something, but, like, you don't see many schools do anything, rightfully so, of putting or retiring a number for winning 9 games, for going to the Alamo Bowl. Usually it's some of the most memorable, historic achievements in a university's history is usually, you know, by a player or two that their numbers are tired. I don't know if Colorado turning it around is enough.
Is this a celebration for Deion? Yes.
Yes.
This is what it is. Here we go. Listen to this. Shedeur Sanders. He has set over 100 school records. Career passing touchdowns, passer rating, completion percentage. He threw for 7,300 yards, 64 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions. Hickey, I'm not all that mad at it. It's just a retirement of the number and the dad. The guy's dad is the coach. I mean, what are we? We can't beat him up like Travis. Yes, I'm not even mad at Shedeur getting his number retired. Neither one of these guys would have had their number retired, specifically as it relates to now, if Deion wasn't there. Well, what else are we gonna do?
But shouldn't it be then just bigger than just that? Like, whoever's the coach and in control, we're going to retire the best player anytime I'm here? Like, there's so much, I don't know, I think especially for college football, because so many teams go back so long. Don't you need to have some sort of reverence for history? Not just willy-nilly, my son played great, we're retiring the number two. Again, at least Travis Hunter won a Heisman, so he's in a rare air there in general. So at least he has some sort of hardware you can always look back on.
It's a package deal, man. I mean, this is what this whole thing was. And I think there's been such an impact on the school, on the university, on Boulder, that they're going to bend over backwards. So I'm not all that up in arms about it. Matter of fact, let's listen to this. Joel Klatt was on Up in Adams earlier today. And he says that Shedeur was the biggest reason why Colorado went from one team being a one-win team to a top 25. Listen to this.
Shedeur was actually the key. It wasn't Travis, and it wasn't Coach, but it was Shedeur. Why did they turn around to a 9-win team and a top 25 team 2 years after being a one-win team that lost by an average of almost 30 points? Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, he's just out there flinging a rock around. Yeah, I think it's a package deal. And Hickey is no big deal. You think people in Colorado are mad?
No, I don't think they're mad. Again, I would agree in the sense of like what the attention they're getting, they're happy for. But it's like,
okay,
let me ask you this. Okay, you go to a Colorado game 10 years from now. You see the number 2 on the stadium somewhere. I ask you, okay, defining moment, what do you remember about Shedeur Sanders? Like, what's the memory that comes to mind?
Him and his dad brought relevancy back to the program.
Where's the win we're looking at of, oh man, that's a program-changing win?
Yeah, it doesn't exist. But that's not it's about the relevancy of the program and the money that they've generated and the interest that's where it is.
But what if
that's not good enough?
No, because if it's short-lived, what's the point?
Oh, Hickey.
I'm not trying to be a bad guy here, but it's like if Deion leaves in, let's say, 2 years and Colorado goes back into the hole and there's just a 4 or 5 year blip in the last 30 years to where Colorado football is relevant, and relevant not because they're winning on the field, just really because of who the coach is and a player or two. Like, what does it all matter then?
We celebrate the good times. Come on.
And you can celebrate the good times by welcoming them back. And always kind of remembering those days. Do you have to retire a jersey with some of the legends like you just said? I don't think so.
I'm not mad at it. The worst things can happen. I don't think the people in Colorado are mad or upset about it. I'm not pitching a fit. They're just stupid numbers up on a wall. Like, you are 100% correct. There's no defining moment. They didn't do it. They brought relevancy and excitement back to the program. Like, all they do is spit out the numbers about enrollment and the money that they make and the interest that they have. And It is. It's special in college football. It's certainly unique in college football. And it has Deion Sanders written all over it. I mean, well, naturally, the Shador came from his loins. And then Travis Hunter came along for the ride coming out of, you know, Jackson State and also coming out of right here in local Atlanta, Georgia. I think this is unique. I don't think we got, like, let's, Hickey, like, I mean, of course not. Tennessee, they told Nico Iamaliava, they gave him the boot. This isn't, I don't think this is very unique. I think it's something worth honoring. Would I have done it in, like, the week before the draft? No. I think we got to save this for a season or two down the line. I don't know.
That I also agree with. Definitely agree with you there.
Well, let's just do it before they get drafted, right?
Feels rushed.
It does.
Make it a bigger deal.
Hey, it's going to be televised on Saturday. Maybe Deion wants to do it while he's still there, to your point, okay?
Because you're never going to go back to Colorado once he leaves. That's it. He's not allowed to go back.
Yeah. Let's do it before I'm not the coach and I have less juice. Might as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get more into this on the other side of the break. There's a lot going on. And then Shador, it appears that he has a workout coming this week. We'll talk about it. Don't move.